We are here. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another episode of Context, Combos, and Cocktails. Y'all, this is episode 16. My God, can y'all believe it?
Yes.
Wow. Episode 16. And we have a very special guest with us today.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Hello. And she just celebrated her 60th birthday.
Hey.
Come through, birthday. Y'all. 60 where? Lord, I hope, honey.
Oh, you will.
Oh.
You already got that face. That looked like a 20, so.
Y'all, Miss Carolyn Pemberton is gracing our table with us today, and we are so pleased to have her here today. So we're just going to jump on in. Y'all know what to do. When you come in, please make sure that you hit that share button so that everyone on your page can publicly join in and drop their comments in. Make sure that you are commenting below so that we can answer any questions that you may have and recognize you. Y'all come on in and say hello, hello, hello. Christina is going to talk about our wine for today. Come on, Chris.
Yeah, so today, y'all know we do feature wines. We are actually featuring a wine that's actually from, a southern region of Italy. It's a family-owned vineyard that is actually still in production. They do
nice
tours and everything. So if you're ever in the southern regions of Italy, you want to look up the Fontana Vincia. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Y'all know I'm not Italian, and I took French and failed. So I got that degree though.
Okay, but
this is more of it's a red wine, and it is more of a drier, bold wine. So it's going to be paired with, like I was telling Nikki, your rich flavored foods, asparagus, beef, deep seasoned pastas, with your hearty cheeses. Is it good?
Yes, finally.
Let me see.
Oh, snap. I haven't even tried it yet. So
finally.
I was very nervous because Camille is a critic.
No, that's really good. Wines. That's really good.
I can't stand a real wine, but this finally.
No, I think the one that we had last week or the week before last, I think that one was a little bit better, but because it was a little, it wasn't dry as dry as this. But I mean, this one is still good.
Wow.
No, it didn't. It was gross.
I have no input because I had known nothing about wine. The most wine I can drink is what I have in this glass,
Mr. White. Which we actually brought one out. It is a Pinot Grigio. Pinot Grigio is a little bit sweeter than Chardonnay sometimes.
Yeah.
Chardonnay is more a little bubbly. But so we just did our traditional Pinot Grigio. And then the red wine, price point wise, you can get a Pinot Grigio. I like a good one. It's usually around $10 to $12. This particular red wine that we have, I saw different prices, but I think if you probably went to the vineyard, it's probably going to be about $20, $25. Mm-hmm. But don't quote me because I've never been to that.
How about the other one?
Pinot Grigio is about $10 to $12.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, keep coming on in.
Yep, y'all keep coming on in and keep sharing the live. All right, y'all. So, let me prepare my space. Okay, so everybody has their pictures up, and I'm going to go in and grab my picture and put it up on my phone because...
You got space?
I don't, and the thing broke off the back.
Yeah, let me put this.
So I'm just gonna, hold him.
Put it between here if you want to.
I'm gonna pull my photo up.
I'm good. I'm just gonna hold him.
Who's
that?
This is my nephew.
Oh, wow.
This is my sister's baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away in 2018.
How old was he?
He was 23, I believe.
Oh, wow.
24. Sorry.
Well, we want to put him there. Maybe you can put him there where the tissue box is or something. I don't know if it would block anything, but no, I hate for you to sit there holding.
Well, I don't want him to. I don't want to.
Or he doesn't fall on back to it.
Yeah, okay. It does. So I'm just gonna hold him right here.
Okay. So y'all, today for our family is a very special day. Of course, it's St. Patrick's Day for most of the world. But today is the day that the Duke Circle officially broke in our family. And my grandmother's oldest son passed away. So today marks 6 years that our circle has been broken. And we have been without our uncle, our brother, our nephew, our cousin. And for us, today is always such a very surreal day. I think my sister and I have gone all these years without wearing green. We don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I think I've worn, this is my first year on St. Patrick's Day not wearing all black. It was just like a catastrophic event in our family, and I can honestly say that though we are still moving forward, I think my family in a whole is still grieving. And so my uncle, Timothy Andre Dukes Sr., was only 50 years old when he passed away. He passed away. His birthday was this past week.
I think it's the 11th.
It was the 12th.
Well, as Nelly told us. Yeah.
He turned 50 years old, and then he passed away 5 days later of colon cancer. Yeah. And so it was detected too late, and so he went through that, but he just didn't make it. And so for us, it has been such a struggle. These last 6 years has been a real struggle. And so that is what we are going to talk about today. And I'm so glad that Carolyn is here to join us, because if anybody understands our struggle with grief, I can honestly say that it is this woman sitting right here. So, tell us.
Thank you. My son, Brian Dean Pemberton, my son died September 1st, 2019. He was 36 years old. My son's death was unexpected. I don't know much about the last hours of my son's life. I know he was out with his friends at a pool place downtown Greensboro, and after that he left and went to a party. He was at the party. My son loved his royal, what you call that, liquor?
Crown Royal.
Crown Royal. Mm-hmm. He loved to vape. He was a grown person. I didn't know my son experiment with other stuff. When his autopsy came out, it was a mixture of a lot of stuff. Not that there was enough any one stuff that would kill him, mm-hmm. but a mixture of it kind of sent his heart in arrhythmia. My son was like 6'7", over 300 pounds. So he was a big guy. Wears a size 16 shoes.
Good Lord. Wow.
And I think for me, the guilt was I was supposed to go out to dinner with my son that Sunday evening, and I did not hear from him. And I was working on my website for my campaign, so I just figured he might be sleeping because he hangs out late on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And normally I turn my phone off at night, except for favorites to come through. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I think I was having a premonition that something was going to happen to my kid or somebody. I didn't think it was my kid.
Right.
And so Sunday night, the day before Labor Day, 12 midnight, my phone rang. And the voice says, are you Miss Pemberton? And I said, yes. And he said, can you come downstairs? Wow. Now my heart started pounding because I have 3 adult kids who are all living outside of the home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So I went down to the staircase. I opened the door. There was a gentleman in plain clothes and there was a gentleman in uniform.
Oh.
And the first thing was my daughter, because she was up in Utica. Ithaca.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when he said to me, do you have a son named Brian? And I said, yeah. And I said, don't tell me my son is dead. Police don't come to your house unless they're seriously injured or they're dead at 12:15 at night.
Right.
And he wouldn't answer me. He told me to come and sit in the living room. There was a setup like this. He come through the front door. The living room was over there. And I said, please, is my son dead?
Right.
And he said, I'm sorry to tell. I didn't hear anything else after that. Mm-hmm. I just know I fell to the floor. And I kept saying, Brian is dead? It's like I was trying to put it together, you know? Mm-hmm. It was a shock. It was a shock.
I bet.
It's not the same kind of death like other deaths. Mm-hmm. I empathize with the uncle, your aunt.
Yes, aunt.
Your nephew. Mm-hmm. I've lost grandparents. I've lost dad. I've lost uncle, lost mm-hmm. cousin, brother. My brother died last May. But the circle of life breaks when you lose a child.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you believe your child is going to be here for the end of your life.
Right.
You're not going to be here for the end of their life. And it's not the same hurt, mm-hmm. and it's not going to go away. And the grief for a child is like a schizophrenic roller coaster. That's the best way to describe it.
Wow. Because
I could be sitting here right now laughing and talk with you.
Yeah.
I could go use your bathroom upstairs and I'm in tears.
Mm-hmm.
I could be driving down the street just listening to a nice music.
Mm-hmm.
Then a Tupac comes on and I'm start bawling my eyes out because that was his favorite song.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or I pull up the car that hit me 4 months later.
Yeah. I remember
was
that.
My son's car.
Oh.
The same model and make car that the lady hit me with was a car my son drove.
Oh, no.
So it's not, I'm just saying it's not the same because I've been through all the others. And to me, my grandparents had lived their lives.
Yeah.
They had gotten kids, they had married.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle had lived his, he had kids. My son hadn't started, he had no kids. He wasn't married, you know.
Mm.
And so he kept telling me he wouldn't be around past his 50th birthday. He kept saying that. But I think he thought he was going to have medical problems because he took after my dad, who died at 57.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he turned 35, he told me he was going to be around till his 40th birthday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
And so we celebrated his birthday that June, the 36th birthday that June, and he died September 1st following that. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's.
So I don't have children, mm-hmm. but I have a mom and a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And when you made the comment of saying, no one comes at your house at 12:15, I always, not so much get upset with my mom or get frustrated with her, but if someone comes unannounced at an odd hour, she gets so frantic.
Mm-hmm.
And her first response is, my kids.
Yeah.
And it could be something as simple as somebody dropping off some cake or something.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you didn't call. It wasn't announced. Like, mm-hmm. you can't do that to me. I have a sister who lives in New Orleans, so that's the first thing that she thinks is, oh my God, someone's done something to my child.
Right.
And then the other's children, then it's me because I'm by myself. So I can only imagine. And so it makes you kind of like feel a little softer when you think that someone's overreacting from a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that.
Okay, so from that, you started a group.
Yes,
right?
I did. Yes, I did.
Okay.
When my son died, I heard all the cliches.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Only God knows best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. and I remember one day I was leaving work, and a lady who said the same thing to me. He's in a better place. I was so angry because I was at my fifth person. And I said to her, and I apologize to you. I don't remember who you were. I said, well, if he's in a better place, well, let's just fall to her knees so God can switch you and him out.
Oh.
Because apparently you don't mind going to that better place, but I want my son back.
Right, right.
I mean.
Yeah,
if it's so good.
Right,
right.
Because everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Right.
And I have people to call me up and tell me, I understand completely what you're going through. My grandmother died last month.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I lost all set of my grandparents, and I didn't feel like this.
Right.
Or my dad died last year. I lost my dad. He was 57, and I couldn't even attend his funeral because I was pregnant with my daughter, and he was in Jamaica.
Mm.
It didn't feel like this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's my nephew or my cousin. I had one lady who told me her dog died, and that was her baby, so she knew how I felt.
What?
Yeah. And so I was like, I don't think anybody understands. You know, I joined a support group, and there was only 3 people in there who had lost children.
Mm-hmm.
And theirs were like 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So my loss was new.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Yeah.
And I found out later that the longer it takes, the harder it gets. Because at least you just saw that person last month. Mm-hmm. You just saw that person 6 months ago. 5 years later, you haven't seen that person in 5 years. You haven't talked to that person in 5 years. And so I kind of, I need people around me that can understand what I'm going through.
Okay.
And so I decided to form the group Moms. It's Mothers of Missing Souls, is what I call it. And so when people would put on Facebook that they lost a child, I'd reach out to them. I said, I have this group, but it's at your earliest convenience. If you want to be around us, let us know. And people start making referrals.
Yeah.
So we had up to 32 members.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's sad that we had to meet under those circumstances.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Camille's grandmother is a member, and I had no idea it was her grandmother.
Yeah.
I did not register that was her grandmother.
You can't tell by these jaws.
I know. And it was funny because I kept telling Miss Nettie, I said, I want us to go to lunch, Miss Nettie, you know, and she's like, well, my grandbaby gonna have, and she can't take me today. And I'm like, who is her grandbaby? You know, and I had no idea until Camille broke it down to me and said, that's her grandmother. Aww. Yeah. And I have people in there whose kids have been shot, stabbed to death, died in motor vehicle accident, and my son lay on a couch and went to sleep and never woke up.
Yeah.
That is the kind of comfort that I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
These people who's, and nobody has been held accountable for these crimes.
Oh, man.
That is, it's not going to bring closure. Some people say, oh, I get closure knowing they made an arrest. You don't get closure.
Right.
What you get is some kind of understanding that somebody's going to be held accountable for what happened to my child.
Right.
So we have people whose children have passed in various different ways. And like you said, your uncle was through cancer. Had a couple whose kids were died in a motor vehicle accident. Somebody hit them on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, a car, they were walking, got hit, left for dead. Mm-hmm. And I have who went to the hospital. They sent him back home. He died at home. 20-something years old, you know. So there's a lot of variation of what happened, but it doesn't make it any easier.
Right.
And even though my son was 36 years old, I still question God as to why.
Right.
You know, he wasn't looting and shooting and hurting anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. And in the job that I do, I see all of that. You know, and I'm like, why my son?
Right.
You know. But, you know, it's not for me to ask why. But like I said to God, you made me as human.
That's what I was
going
to say.
You made me with emotions. Mm-hmm. So you can't be upset if I'm asking you why.
Right.
Would you give me this child for 36 years and take him from me without any warning?
Yeah.
Right. You know, so that was where the group Moms came in, because we needed to be in a space where we understood each other. Like if I get up one day and I'll say in the group, oh my God, I can't believe that I just feel like pounding my wall today. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was such a beautiful day. I was doing so well. And then somebody would say the same thing with me. I just feel like I float between a schizophrenic behavior, feeling better, not feeling better. Or, you know, everything I see remind me of my son. We share things. And that when people validate our feelings, then we know we're not the only one.
Right. Right.
And that's what the group is about. It's not a big group. I had people who try to join us, you know, and never want to answer the questions. Have you lost someone? If you don't answer those questions, then I can back it up. You're not in that group. It's not
right.
a public group for thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's to share your inner thoughts and not have people ridicule you.
Right.
Because I have members in my group that says their family or friends have said, it's about time you move on.
Oh, my gosh.
It's about time you move on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and we needed that group. I needed that group.
Yeah.
To help me. Because I'm still stuck in anger.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to talk about was the five stages of grief, which are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I wanted to ask you, I wanted to really ask everybody at this table dealing with their various stages of grief that we're all currently in right now, what phase of grief do you feel like you're in?
Where are you?
Well, as far as my nephew is concerned, I'm pretty much at acceptance.
Right.
It was touch and go for that for a long time, like because for a long time I felt like if I communicated more with him about things that I went through when I first came out, and everything, and the things that I went through and what ended up taking his life, I tried as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I could have told him my story and maybe we would be in a different place, maybe not, But it's always that, like, what if, what if, what if. And mm-hmm. so I think I went through that for a long time. And now I believe, you know, I have accepted it in my heart. And I try to, I don't keep quiet anymore. From his situation, everything is on the table. Everything is talked about, whether it makes you uncomfortable or not. Right. Because maybe me saying or me speaking up will keep, you know, keep someone else from doing, you know, what my nephew did. So
I'm still at anger.
Yeah.
I'm still at anger because I found out my son didn't have a problem per se, you know, a drug problem. It was more like an experimental social
thing. Yeah.
But I'm angry under the circumstances.
Right.
He was at a party with his friends. And from his autopsy, he was dead for hours. And they left him in the house claiming they thought he was sleeping. And then one came back home later and thought, why was his truck still in the driveway? And then they realized he was gone.
Oh,
my goodness. They called the 911 around 7 o'clock. They didn't come to notify me till midnight when I told them 12:15. So I was angry that my son died alone.
Yeah.
And even though I might be thinking irrationally that they probably knew and didn't help him, that is my thought process. And until you can tell me differently, that's what I'm going to think.
Right.
That you guys know my son had was laying there and you left to cover your own behind.
Right.
But it may not have been that way. But that's the way I see it. When you have a party filled with people, somebody's passed out on a bed like they're sleeping, and then you don't try to shake them before you left to go to work.
Right.
And say, hey, I'm leaving the house, you know.
Right.
And then you come back and you wonder why his car is still here. And then, and it might be the truth, but I'm not accepting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am angry because these are his friends. These are not somebody that he just went to their house that night. Mm-hmm. These are people he hang out with. And when it first happened, there were a couple of them. I asked them, is there anything I need to know? And they said no. Everything was fine. He was doing well. He was alive when we left. We heard him in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Not when the autopsy is telling me when they found him at 7, he was dead for at least 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Okay? So if you left the house at 6 o'clock and you were in the same room laying down where my son was laying because everybody was trying to sleep it off, you knew my son was dead when you left. But you didn't want to be in there when it happened.
Wow.
So I'm angry there. And I'm angry because I felt like I missed something.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't tell what I missed because everybody's like, no, Miss P, that was not Brian. That was not, and we still think something happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm angry because, like I said, I try to live my life where I help people, even with my job, you know, and to think that this happened to one of my child.
Right.
Why me?
Right.
You know, and he was my firstborn.
Mm.
I go into depression. So sometimes I flip between anger and depression.
Mm-hmm.
I never bargained because I knew he wasn't coming back.
Right.
But I know that I bargained where, God, please don't take another one of my children.
Right.
Let me die first because I can't deal with another one going.
Of course.
But depression is not always curled up in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to my daughter the other day and she said, Mom, do you realize you suffer from functional depression?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm a nurse, but I never thought about it because I'll go to work.
Yeah.
I'll do my job.
Mm-hmm.
I go to speeches. I'll go to events.
Mm-hmm.
But as I hit my house, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'll lay in my bed from Friday evening to Monday morning sometimes.
Yeah.
Go and take a shower. I don't want to talk. And so she said, yeah, you function well, but you are depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like you said, when your aunt and anybody comes to her house, if I call my kids and they don't answer me, I see a car fall in the sky. I see them in a ditch lying down, bound from, gag.
Yeah.
Because, and I tell my kids, please, if you can't even answer me back, send me a text because all kind of stuff is going through my head. But I haven't gotten to acceptance. I'm nowhere close to it. I think acceptance will come when I'm on my deathbed if I get that chance to say that I may be joining him. But there is no bargaining for me. I'm still in denial somewhat, but no, after 4.5 years, I know he's gone.
Right.
But my anger is still just as real,
and
it's mingled with a little depression sometimes.
I can understand that.
Okay. Uh-oh. No, I think the stages that I have are are a mixture between depression and acceptance. So I understand that she's gone. Mm-hmm. We knew it was going to happen. My aunt, she lasted a whole lot longer than many people gave her. So when it finally happened, it was like, well, we knew it was going to happen, but it still doesn't ease the feeling, the emotion. I think my depression is functional as well. I think when I do crash and burn, only a small group, and when I say small, two people, three is a lucky number, that you'll see that I crumble. I think also, I try to make sure that people don't worry about me. So I don't want to talk about it, or I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I don't want you to change your patterns for me. And I think I'm like that even beyond grief. Like I always say that. I don't want to be an inconvenience to anyone. So, I think it's still fresh. I mean, she just passed last June. I feel like my voice is sounding a little shaky, so sorry.
It's okay, Kay.
So I think I do struggle with the depression piece. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had an accident, as you all know.
Yes.
When January 8th, 4 months after my son passed. And later on, after, you know, I'm still in pain a lot, but I've been able to walk. I said, I think, I don't want to believe my God would put me through that mess of a crash. Mm-hmm. But you know what the good part of that was? It took my mind off my son for the time I was healing. 80%, because I was so involved with my own pain, my own struggle of learning to walk all over again,
right,
that when I do lay in my bed at night, I would think about him and I would cry. But as morning comes and I struggle to clean up myself and do all these things and button a shirt because his arm was broken, it took my mind off stuff. It's only after I start healing more that my depression even set in even worse, because now I'm able to concentrate on it.
Right.
And
wow.
So that, I think, was, I hate to say it this way because I don't want another accident like that.
Yeah, no.
But it was
I
like
don't
a
want
blessing.
You to have another
it's
like
it
that.
Was a blessing in disguise for me, because I think I probably would have ended up with worse mental and emotional instability from my son passing if I didn't have my accident to take my mind off that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For me, I think that I go back and forth between anger and depression. And I say that because so we knew my uncle was sick. Mm-hmm. And we went through the whole, like, his the chemo worked one time, and he's in remission, and there's no cancer, you know. And we went through that whole, like, Hosanna, he's healed thing, right? And then, boom. It just came back like a vengeance. Like, right after Christmas, we had, like, this one last really good Christmas with him. And then by that March, he was gone. And I come from a really, really religious family where everybody was coming. I mean, the old big bishops and everything, carrying on, was coming from near and far to, like, lay hands and pray on them and do all of these things, you know, almost giving us, like, this false hope of, like, all these miracles are going to be performed, right? And so, though, like, we knew what the doctors were saying, like, the people in our lives and just the people around us almost wouldn't allow us to accept the reality of what was going on.
Because God is a miracle worker and a way maker.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But that doesn't fare well later when you have to deal with grief.
Yeah.
It just makes you angry because, well, okay, y'all promised us all these miracles and everything was going to happen. So what happened? Because now I'm left with, like, without my uncle. Also with, like, this very anger, bitterness. Mm-hmm. And when somebody does, you know, go into remission and say, oh, I've been this many years cancer-free and that many years cancer-free, it makes me very angry and bitter when I should be, like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. And oh, that's wonderful. And oh, that's great. You know, and I should feel that way and I should be able to feel that way. But in reality, my heart is like, well, what made them so special that they get to be in remission for 10 or 20 or 50? And this guy, we talking about somebody who never smoked, never drank, never cursed, never said an ill word towards anybody unless he needed to, like, protect his family, which he was such a protector of us.
Yeah.
Never caused any drama. He only stepped in to, like, mediate. I mean, you were talking about a good person. When you think about, like, oh, when God opens up the book of life and he says, oh, did you do this? Did you do that? And, you know, and this person has all these check marks. And am I saying he was perfect? Absolutely not. You know? Because he has some quirks about him. But also, when you put them up against other people, you're like, well, you know, it's a few, you know, was the right choice really made here? And then on top of that, you have all these people saying all these miracles are going to be performed and all these ways are going to be made. And then you have these ways made for all these other people. So what makes us...
Who is less ungodly.
Right. What makes us so not deserving? And, you know, and I struggle with that. I really, really struggle with that. And I struggle with being angry about it. Because I feel like I should be past that point. It's been 6 years. I feel like I should be at the place in my life where I can be happy for people now. Am I just rude and nasty to people? No, absolutely not. But when I get home, I feel some type of way.
Yeah.
Not that I want people to die, because I don't want anybody to die. I hate cancer. I don't want anybody to die. But why do other people respond so well to treatment and some don't? And so that's the part that I really, really struggle with. And so I just don't feel like me, my family, my cousins, none of us was given the opportunity to have acceptance before, you know, or like to wrap our mind around the fact that, hey, one day we're going to leave this hospital and we're not going to take our uncle with us.
Right.
Because so many, we were just promised so many miracles and like this is how what we was raised to believe. And then when that didn't happen, we was just kind of like, oh, sorry. Here's a fruit basket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or what you call that, Lily? Life. I got five of them when he passed. Right. So. But you know, Camila, I'll piggyback on that with you. With my job, I come across a lot of addicts, and you know, who were more far or addicts. Because my friends, my son's friend who hang around him said he was by no means.
All right.
And I remember I had this one case where they reported to the court that he had OD 4 times and brought back. His parents was there and said, we have had to go through an overdose with him 4 times. And I'm like, wow. And some people don't even get a chance to make one mistake.
Right, right.
Yeah.
One mistake.
Right.
You know. So I hear what you're saying. And then I see, I'm happy for my son's friends because he loved his friends. A couple have gotten married since he passed.
Mm-hmm.
A couple have had children. And I'm sitting here thinking, why didn't he get that opportunity?
Right.
Why wasn't he the first one to give me a grandchild? Not that I'm not happy for them. I am very happy for them. I mean, they message me. There are about 4 of his friends who constantly keep up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why wasn't he the one to give me my first grandchild?
Right.
Or the first one to walk down the aisle? So, Camille, I understand completely because you feel like your family, who is very religious, who prays, and you have ministers in your family,
mm-hmm.
why was it they were treated differently? And then it comes back to where people say only the good die young.
Right.
Well, I'm starting to believe that, but why?
Mm-hmm.
And then my grandmother used to say, because other people are given more time to change their lives.
Mm.
Well, that's not fair.
Right.
So you live your life right, and the reward is to be taken early.
Right.
But if you want to stick around longer, just live your life bad.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't
you know,
make any sense.
Right.
So.
There's a type of grief that we don't talk about. And there's an actual name for it. And I don't know the specific name for it, but I don't have it with me in my brain right now. But there's a type of grief that people don't really talk about. And there's this grief of what may never be. And I have a lot, I see several clients that have grief with what will never be. And I had such a hard time with the fact that my uncle died in March of 2018. I was in the very tail end of my graduate program. And so I had to deal with the fact that my uncle is not going to come to my graduation. And so, therefore, I did not go to my graduation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not walk across the stage. I didn't want anything to do with my graduation because that was such an important thing for me. I wanted him to be there. And he wasn't going to be there. So I didn't need to be there because is it really that important? There were so many things that I have experienced. Also in 2018, we renewed our vows. My uncle's shirt was there. His pictures were there.
That was the thing with us. My nephew passed in January. And then her 2018. Uncle passed that
his
March.
His children were there. His wife was there, but he was not there. And yeah. I know that he would have been there, mm-hmm. right? And so it's all of these things that I had to grieve, knowing that I'm grieving the fact that these things will never happen.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you, because I never thought of it like that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but thank you.
Mm. He never got to meet our grandkids as much as he loves babies mm-hmm. and kids. He never got to meet our grandkids. He never got to come tell me, you need to take Princeton into the bathroom and have talk with him. Because I know he would tell me, like, that one, you can take him somewhere. But, there are all these different types of depression and types of grief. And I think that people don't think when you lose a loved one, they just try to say things.
Well, I think that's because they're uncomfortable with your emotions. Mm-hmm. So let me be nice and let me make her happy or make him happy or make them happy, make them forget because I don't want to have to be in a dark place with them. And it's, in a sense, it's selfish, but it's also how we kind of operate. Right. Everything is supposed to be easy mm-hmm. in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's even like work and everything.
Or death is inevitable. So why are you going through this? Right. We're all going to die one
day. Or you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You knew they were going to pass, you know. You knew that they were sick or that type thing. So I think that people just don't know how to handle people.
Yeah.
I mean, so in the end, mm-hmm. so.
I'm going to, Danielle, she said, what I've learned in that situation, death is another part of life. God is the ultimate healer. I've learned that each individual has their own reasons for approaching death. It's their decision between that person and God. Sometimes the unexplainable isn't explained. That's the hardest part about death in that situation. But there is a lesson in the midst of your loss. So. Yeah.
There is a lesson. I'm still trying to find it.
Yeah.
Nobody says there's no lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody might see the lesson on the outside before we see it on the inside.
Yeah. They're definitely going to see it.
Because all we're thinking of is why isn't that person here?
Yeah.
And like Camille brought up, I'm glad she brought that up because the what you said, the grief of what will never happen. Mm-hmm. When my son's last birthday was June 16th, he born the same day as my mom.
Oh, wow.
My mom had her first grandson on her birthday.
Wow.
Right. And we were having lunch, dinner, and that's when my other son brought up that they were expecting a child. Mm-hmm. And from what I gather, my son was so excited. He was going to teach him basketball. He was going to mm-hmm. teach him all this. And the Friday before my son passed was when I first announced I was going to run for judge. Mm-hmm. And I texted them and I said, look, I want you to put this flyer as your cover picture. So if you go on my son's page right now, that cover picture is still there.
Yeah.
And for years, son kept saying, when are you going to run for judge, Mom? And I'm like, I'm not ready. And to think when I finally made the decision to do it,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. He picked me up from the airport July 7th because my relative in Jamaica had died and I went home for the funeral. Mm-hmm. We went to eat at a Mexican place in Balagon. I can't remember the name. And at the restaurant, he said, I finally think I'm going to go back to Jamaica the next time you go, because he hadn't been since he was like 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
He said, and I want you to buy me that suit you've been bothering me to get. Little did I know, 2 months later, I would be buying him a suit.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And he said, and Brianna is going to graduate next May, Mom. We all got to go. That's what that brought back to me. We got to rent a van, and we all going to drive up there. And my daughter graduated in May. Her brother wasn't there.
Right? Yeah.
So I'm glad. That's why I had to say it then before I forget. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're a good
friend. When you said that, I was like, there it is. That's the part of it. Mm-hmm. That it will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. And when you brought up about the group, will you be in depression, only three people you can reach out?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the group does.
Yeah.
Because when we're having our moments, we'll put in the group, pray for me today, or I'm having a bad day, or please, this is not a good week for me. And I know whoever is in there is not being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it all the time. Because mm-hmm. Sundays is not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle through Sundays, because Sunday was when my son passed.
Wow.
So most time you'll see me put something on Facebook in memorandum of him, it's usually on a Sunday. Because
okay.
I'm laying
okay.
in my bed and I'm just going through all these emotions. Every Sunday I go through it all over again.
Yeah.
And that's when I have to post something mm-hmm. about him. So thank you for that. I never really thought about that grief of it's not going to happen,
mm-hmm.
what you said. Yeah.
Okay. So Nikki had a question about communication.
Well, yeah. And she basically just answered it. Like, one of my questions was as far as your group moms, how do you all communicate? I was saying, is it something that you all like, y'all meet or y'all just, you know, just go into the group and just post all the time? Or do y'all have set meetings? Like, do y'all meet on once a month or things like that? So how does that work?
It's a very informal group. We don't mm-hmm. have a set meeting.
Okay.
I used to set up a Zoom meeting like every month when we just started. Every other month. We haven't had one in a long time
mm-hmm.
because everybody was going through stuff.
Right.
This month is my son's birthday. Of course, it brings back.
Mm-hmm.
This
yeah.
month is the anniversary of my son's day.
Okay.
You know, they will do that.
Right.
So we do have a Facebook page, but we also have an inbox group.
Okay.
And that's how we communicate.
Oh, okay. Group chat.
So we'll just do the group chat.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone out. I've never had an opportunity of getting the entire group together, but
okay.
we have done Christmas dinners. We
oh,
have just
nice.
Had luncheons
oh.
together.
That's awesome.
Eddie has been to a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I know other members have been coming up with ideas like bowling and stuff
mm-hmm.
when it gets warmer.
Yeah.
The last group meeting I tried to call, a Zoom meeting, it didn't work out. I forgot what it was with me. So know that it gets getting warmer. I'm hoping we can do much. But you got to meet people because, like I said, we have different stages.
Right.
We have people whose person has been dead for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
10 years,
mm-hmm.
2 years, 1 year. And so we're not all at the same level.
Right.
So while the 5 year might feel a little better not to go out and eat, and because for a while I was guilty. Every time I laugh, I felt like I was letting
oh,
down
man.
My son.
Yeah.
How dare
oh,
I'm here laughing
God.
And
yeah.
he's 6 feet under.
Right.
And somebody
right.
in
yeah.
the group brought that up. That
yeah.
they were afraid to laugh, afraid
yeah.
to go out because they felt like having fun was like I was not honoring his memory.
Yeah.
So for a while, I didn't want to laugh. I may laugh when I go to work because I have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see me in the stores, I'm not laughing with you.
Right.
Because I feel like every smile, every laugh was disrespecting him. Because
mm.
how dare me have all this fun back here and he's laying 6 feet under.
Right.
So I didn't want to do anything. That's where the anger comes in and the guilt,
yeah.
you know. So
yeah.
a lot of us haven't, is not at the crossroad where everybody's ready to go venture out. But
mm-hmm.
I've had Christmas get together where 8 or 9 of us might be together.
Mm-hmm.
I've had, we have gone to lunch and stuff like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, and I know that's pretty helpful to be able to communicate
mm-hmm.
with people. And that's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
So how do you want the group to end? What do you have an end goal or is it just as you go?
I don't have an end goal, but I did eliminate some people from the group.
Okay.
And because I questioned if they really had a loss because they weren't interacting with us.
Okay.
So like I said, some people might have answered the question, yes, I suffered a loss, but we never hear what the loss is, you know? While I might be open about my son, Miss Nettie about her son, somebody else about, we never hear from people. And so I'm like, we are here to support each other. And when a member put in the group that I'm having a rough time, I'm really having a hard time, I want everybody to jump in and say, we're here for you. I don't want you to be peeping Toms. And everybody's being vulnerable, but you're not responding. So what I told the group was, I don't want to dismantle the group because I know it's helping a lot of people. But at some point, I may narrow it down to just the people who are being supportive. Because the last thing you want to do is to open up your heart to people and they're not helping you. And that's what the group was supposed to be for. And being a silent observer is not helping.
It's not.
And I don't care where in your morning you are. You're asked to join this group to support others, and even to do an emoji of a care or an emoji of tears, respond when somebody say, I'm going through a hard time, you know? And so I don't have a desire not to end the group entirely, but I have a desire to trim it to the people who are more active. And I have like 17 to 18 people who are very still active out of the 32.
So do you want to keep it tight, close?
I don't want, there's too many big grief pages out there, thousand. No, I want us to know each other. And the majority of our people are from Guilford County. I want us to know each other, feel that connection. That's, I mean, while I might welcome somebody in another state, if I don't know you or I can't meet with you except on a Zoom, I don't feel like we're connected. And so, yeah, I don't want it to proliferate to this huge group of, you know, a lot of people try to encourage me to expand it. To I was like, no, that's not what I came here for. I came here for a small group of people who can help me help them when I'm going through my depressive state, my crying, you know, mood swings and stuff like that. So, yeah.
We only have a few more minutes, so I wanted to highlight another type of grief that a lot of people don't know about or may not realize that that's what they're experiencing, and it's called anticipatory grief. And that is a grief that you experience before a loss has occurred. And so sometimes if you have a child that may be about to move out or going to college, and you start to grieve because you're like, oh, I'm losing my baby. They are moving away. What's happening? Or if your child is getting married and your child has always lived at home and now they're getting married and they're essentially, you know, going to someone else. That's an anticipatory grief that you may have. Or if you're caring for someone who has a terminal illness and you know that at some point this illness may end their life. And so you start to grieve now. In this moment, and you're not exactly sure what these feelings or emotions are that you're going through, that also is an anticipatory grief. And so you may want to stop and kind of evaluate your feelings and reach out for help if you feel like those feelings and emotions have become too great for you to sustain at home, or even check in with a mental health professional if you just aren't sure what, you know, something is going on here. I'm not exactly sure what we're feeling. Definitely reach out to Carolyn Pemberton. You can find her on
every social media.
every social media platform that's out there. You can definitely find her if you are interested, or if you want to refer someone to her mom's group, Mothers of Missing Souls. And we have something in the kitchen if you want to go grab that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, what else was I going to say?
Danielle, we see you. So Danielle had reached, made a comment and said that she has lost three children. The last child I lost, Big Mike, and I lost our son, Jacob, 14 years ago. It still feels like a scarlet letter on me. It was stillbirth and I had to have him vaginally. I was 8.5 months pregnant, talked about the never that will never be. I never heard him cry, never brought him home. Still, like, excuse me, I said I still feel like I left him and didn't protect him.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that's where you do need that support group, just to piggyback off of Ms. Carolyn and her group, and having that support, because you do have those thoughts, you have those moments, and they shouldn't be dismissive. Mm-hmm. Not everybody knows how to work well with mm-hmm. them, again, so just know that having your support group.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let me tell you something.
Okay.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We have a birthday to celebrate.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
I don't know.
No, this is a surprise.
So she turned 60 years old on Friday, mm-hmm. right?
No, Friday. I didn't remember my birthday.
On Friday. And still said, yes, you will come and be with us here on Sunday. So we wanted to just have a little cake with you.
This is so nice.
And so we're going to sing happy birthday. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Okay, come Which on, Altos.
No, the regular one.
the regular one. And forewarning, I sing off key.
Okay.
Y'all ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carolyn. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my God. I told myself when I was leaving today that I wasn't going to cry at all. And I held it together because last night my kids took me out to eat and I came home and I was sitting on the steps. And my son just came to my mind. And I'm like, another birthday and you're not here. So I thank you guys for making this extra special, because birthdays have been very hard for me since 2019.
I can only imagine.
So thank you.
Aww.
You're
welcome.
Thank
you.
You're so awesome.
Thank you. So awesome. Ooh, I'm going to have cake.
Yeah. That's all you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We want to thank you so much for coming and spending your Sunday afternoon with us. Yes. You know, we love and appreciate you so
thank
much.
You.
Everything you do out in the community, in all of your capacities, all 47 of your capacities, we thank you so much. Y'all, listen, if you are dealing with grief, okay, the three C's, choose, connect, and communicate.
Yes.
Always choose what's best for you. Remember to connect and stay connected to others around you so that you don't isolate. And remember to communicate and keep what you need out there. Put it out there. Talk to people. Let people know how they can help you. Grief is hard. It is hard. It is hard. It's hard for you. It's hard for us. But together, we can truly get through it.
Yes.
Okay? So thank y'all so much for joining us this Sunday, as always.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. We are here for you.